Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We're tonight's guest, fitness specialist, trainer, and owner of Malibu Fitness, Lonnie Weinstock Galate.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Sherry Pettigo. I am Mark Lejeune, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Our episode 775 today is about building a healthy mind, body, and community. And I'm so excited because, besides many other things, our interview guest is the owner of Malibu Fitness, and she's a trainer, and we'll say more about her in a moment. So what does this technically have to do with healthy mind, and what does it have to do with community? And we certainly know body-wise, that's been brought up a lot. Interestingly enough, in true fashion of community, just last night, Dorothy suggested I read a particular chapter in a book. It's Way of the Horse by Linda Kanav. In any event, so I'm reading the particular chapter that Dorothy suggested I read, and it referenced another chapter. So this morning I went to the other chapter, and lo and behold, that was about community. So it's interesting, before I get into what the chapter said, I remember growing up that I heard a lot of, you got to be self-reliant and self-sufficient, and this person is, and then as I started getting into business and self-help and making money kind of thing, this person is a self-made man, this person is a self-made woman, this person is a self-made millionaire, this person doesn't need anyone, this person flies solo, this person's a loner, this person's a lone wolf. I don't know that as I started to learn more and starting to coach, I don't know if that actually really exists, and if maybe we might want to not think necessarily like that, because it leaves off potentially a big part of who we are. And as I'm learning about the science, as I learned in chapter 21 of this book, Ways of the Horse, or was it 41? It said that the biology of connection was the subtitle, and co-regulation and freedom through relationship, not from relationship, freedom through relationship. So it goes on to say, though it's tempting to give up on the human race at times, it's important to realize that we cannot reach our true potential alone. Even lone wolves cannot truly thrive alone. As it turns out, connecting with others is psychologically imperative for all mammals, including humans. The need to form mutually supportive relationships is literally a part of our design. And so she goes on to say, I often talk about people who say they wish they could just move to a deserted island and get away from the stress they experience from members of their own species. But the urge to strike out on our own is a catch-22. We may feel the need to and can potentially survive alone, but we may find a bit of peace in the process. But without meaningful connection with others, we cannot reach our full potential. We are literally designed to help each other, not just to survive, but to feel safe, welcome. And just one other piece, because she quotes a doctor, Dr. Stephen, is it Porges? He innovated that in the nervous system of mammals, that we help each other regulate feelings of safety and danger through our social connections, and this is known as the is it Plyvagal theory? And he goes on to say that the neural pathways of social support and social behavior are shared with the neural pathways that support health, growth, and restoration. His research suggests that our nervous systems are literally designed to connect with others in order to work at an optimal level, not just psychologically, but physiologically. When we feel disconnected, our health, our hearts, our brains, and our systems in our bodies are seriously compromised. And our capacity to heal, let alone attain higher levels of wellness, depends on forging safe and meaningful connections with others. So building a healthy mind, body, and community is what we're going to be talking about today.
That's a great lead in, because having Lonnie join us tonight was an absolute no-brainer. I've had gym memberships all over the country, and I've been to gym franchises all over the world. And after a bit of time at Malibu Fitness, it was strikingly different. And I started pondering what the difference was. And over time, I realized that it became family. Mm. And it wasn't the usual just hello and, you know, kind of the head nod, you know, when you walk into the gym and people know each other. Conversations ensued, follow-up questions ensued, deep and sincere concern for past events or things coming up or something going on in someone's, you know, life within the community was a big part of it, as well as the top level training and classes and everything else that I got to participate in. But they've all become family, and I'm really excited to learn more tonight and to share it with our listeners.
Well, very good. And that's why we're featuring our interview guest, who's owner of Malibu Fitness. She's a trainer certified in TRX, spin, Pilates, group fitness, injury prevention, and an NASM certified women's fitness specialist. Lonnie Weinstock Galate, welcome to the Life Changer Show.
Thank you, and hello.
Well, this says a lot about you, what Mark just said, and what we're all kind of feeling here, and Malibu Fitness.
I appreciate that.
Now, you've heard this actually before, and obviously this, some of it is by design, some of it is you're experiencing, and it's growing as you go. So let's talk about the growing, and let's start where how you got started in fitness.
I got started in my youth, really. I was always really active, climbing the walls, literally, and my mom didn't know what to do with me, so she put me into gymnastics. From gymnastics, I started at a really young age, learning and competing pretty much all my life. Got me a scholarship in college, and I competed all the way through. And when I left college, I thought, what am I going to do? I knew that I loved movement from a young age, and I studied kinesiology because of that, and got my teaching credential. Started teaching in public school, but it really wasn't what I wanted so much. I felt as I went on, I wanted people really to get what I wanted to give them rather than just have to be there. Mm. So I branched out on my own and started teaching gymnastics and movement. And then years later, I opened up Malibu Fitness. That was in 1986.
So in the process, you actually did some really cool things. Like you did aerobics before it was aerobics. You did Pilates before it was, I mean, you did all this stuff before it was all this stuff.
Yeah, the industry has just zoomed ahead, which is great. When I first started, yes, I was teaching gymnastics. I had a small gymnastic team, and I then was asked to start teaching some exercise for the parents. So we just rolled out the tumbling mats and literally put on records. Taught what now looks like more aerobics, or what became aerobics, doing cardio exercises that led into floor work, that led into stretching. That was kind of the foundation of aerobics. And then later on in the 80s, it became a certifiable organization. And of course, I became group certified and loved it. It was my chance to kind of morph from gymnastics to another kind of activity where I could innovate exercises and use music and kind of like a floor exercise routine, but a little bit simpler, and got to keep my sweat on, and it just kept growing and growing. And then, of course, you know, from aerobics, it became step class and spin class and now HIIT class, interval training, and so much more. So yeah, a little bit ahead of my time, and had a lot of great ideas that I just wanted to share. And I am more than appreciative that I do what I love and can continue to grow in this huge industry that has now opened up into wellness.
It feels like you're still ahead of your time. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we go forward. In the meantime, though, you were also having to teach along the way, I would imagine, because if people hadn't stretched in a class with music and all that, that I would imagine you were sharing not only something new that you were innovating along the way, were you saying like, this is why we want to do this, or this is how this is going to help you, and this affects that? Were you doing that?
Yeah, because knowledge is key, and I've always been really curious, and I always want to learn. I do continuing education still. I love reading and finding out new things to do and why we do it. So, of course, when we were doing things, if we were doing aerobics, it was cardio health. If we were doing strength training, it was about using our muscles and why we want to use our muscles and keep our bone density and flexibility and mobility so that we can be agile into our later years.
So when you're talking about starting with records, it sounds like you're talking about a time that people not only didn't think they needed to do this, but didn't have the time or make the time, and like there was a lot going on in the world where more women were in the workforce and children were at school and all that stuff. So you're having to, besides having children of your own, so you're managing business and people's psychology, and what a time for innovation that was. What made you succeed during all of that?
You know, I think it was a little bit of everything. Certainly my passion, my love for it, and my drive, and people enjoying it. And that was gratifying for me. And I loved moving. I still love to move every single day. And I just wanted to learn more and more and share it with the people. And I live in a community, too, on the west side here, where people are very concerned with how they look in the entertainment industry. So people were concerned with being fit, physically fit. Maybe there wasn't as much mental involved in it, even though there is, and there always was for me. But there was a physicality that was maybe a little more superficial for a lot of people that joined in at the time.
So by superficial, you mean I just need to look good for this part or for the beach this summer kind of thing, and it's just the way the body looks?
Exactly. I want to show my muscles. I want to be thin enough. I want to look good enough. All of that. Which is changing a lot. Which I'm glad.
Why are you glad? Because that does sound like it's a good pursuit. Because would it not mean... Actually, no, not necessarily. It wouldn't mean that they're actually getting healthier on the way to that body, right?
Sometimes we'll do a lot of things that aren't healthy just to look good.
Wow, yeah.
So not necessarily. I think it's important to work from the inside out. I've learned a lot along the way, and I've seen a lot of people get broken because they try too hard to look good and kind of beat themselves up. Sure, when you look good, you feel better when you look in the mirror, but you got to make sure everything's working properly inside, and that's not just your heart and the organs inside, but also emotionally. You really stress because you're not thin enough or your muscles aren't big enough. And that can take a toll on people mentally and emotionally.
Wow, you're bringing something to mind. Like there are people that are potentially too thin and still don't think they're thin enough. So that's in their mind, right? Or people that are really muscular but don't think they're muscular enough. So that's the mind health thing, right?
Exactly. And then there's a lot of things that people do that are actually damaging to make them look good, that aren't healthy. So it brings us to today, where we want to incorporate the mind and the body, the whole capacity of what we have in our human body to be healthy and to live a long time and be happy and healthy in that body.
So it seems to me that this conversation has brought to my consciousness how in the past we have separated things like, this is my career over here, this is my family over there, or these are my kids, that I do this at my work, but at home I don't, that everything was so separated, and we were kind of potentially encouraged to do so. And though in certain areas of our life, especially health, it seems that a holistic approach, like looking at the whole of it, is important. I hadn't thought about, until Mark mentioned it, until you and I spoke, the holistic approach to fitness and adding the community piece. So what's the holistic approach? Like, what does that encapsulate for you in fitness?
It's everything. I think we can't compartmentalize anymore. Wow. Because you wake up in the morning and not feel so good. And maybe you get out of bed and maybe you go to class, or maybe you don't. Or maybe someone calls you up and says, hey, I'm coming to class, are you going too? And you start feeling better just emotionally. And then you make it on the spin bike and your heart rate goes up and your endorphins kick in and you get some dopamine. And then you feel better, you're more alert in your mind to go to work or to have a meeting or to deal with your children or your mate. It all works together. And I know at Malibu Fitness, because people have grown together and people share so much, it's a small little intimate West End community, really. And I think everyone feels really comfortable when they go in there. They don't have to look great. And they start feeling better and they start working out. It all goes together.
You know, the irony, you and I were talking about this earlier, is that there are small town gyms, so to speak, or, you know, the gym down the block, or even the store down the block. That's the, but we don't necessarily look at it that way. Like it feels like when we go to the gym, we just have to stick to ourselves because we're working on our individual thing. And if we go to the store, a lot of us act like we're never going to see that clerk again, right? We don't take the time to know their name. There isn't time. Do you know what I mean? So the gym is like, no, you don't talk to people.
Yeah, it's different at Malibu Fitness. When you come in, you know your name, and they'll talk to you, you'll have conversations, and then when you see them again, maybe that same conversation comes up, or they may relate to something in the past, or what they're doing the next day, or hey, are you going to paddle out, are you doing this? And people feel pretty comfortable just engaging in each other, and you're working out right next to someone. People aren't afraid to look you in the eye and have a conversation. And share, say, hey, try this exercise, what are you doing? And it makes you feel really comfortable and you want to come back. And that's why fitness works in places. When you want to come back, you have to feel comfortable because you want to do it a lot. You need to move every day. And if you don't feel comfortable in your home gym and you dread going there, it's not going to work.
We're going to want to come back to this conversation. Actually, we're going to take a quick break. But if you're curious about Malibu Fitness, you can go directly to MalibuFitness.com, just like it sounds. You can learn more about our guests. You can learn more about what they do there. And they actually have videos and things where you could do it no matter where in the world you are, and classes and things of that nature. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back with our guest, Lonnie Weinstock Galante. And then a little later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment. And then we are going to be joined live by Sherry Pettigo, our performance guest, all on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
On this episode, we're talking about building a healthy mind, body, and community. Our interview guest is owner of Malibu Fitness, trainer certified in TRX, spin, Pilates, group fitness. You've been listening to her. You're getting what she's about. We're so glad to have you, Lonnie Weinstock Galate, here on the Life Changes Show. Lonnie, you've been innovating all along. It feels like you're still innovating and still ahead of the curve. You are offering things that most people would not have associated with a gym offering, like sound baths and tell us about that.
I think we're a one-stop shop because you can go in there and go into a weight room, you can go run on the treadmill, you can go outside and do TRX, you can run up and down our stairs, you've got the beach across the street, and you've got the mountains and the hills right behind us. So there's a lot you can do. And yes, we offer breath work and we offer sound bath, sometimes with our yoga classes. So it's well-rounded. And most of all, we have fun. We laugh a lot there. And I think that's really important. And that's part of what connects us to each other and keeps us coming there. I have fun every day. I think I laugh at the gym with my friends and with the members and my clients, and great conversation, and share a lot of knowledge, because behind all that is knowledge, and they trust us to come and do our classes and ask us questions about health because we all study it. The teachers and the trainers, they all have a lot of knowledge, and we work as a team that way.
So you said at one point while we were talking earlier, you said, well, I don't want it to sound cliche, but we're really all about mind, body, spirit, or soul. And I'm thinking, it's not cliche at all. I don't think it's actually said enough. So I'm glad to hear you say it. And I also found really interesting that I was you remind me of people that say affirmations don't work, and whether they work or not, at least the way that they experience it, they'll say an affirmation once or twice or whatever it is, and then the rest of the day they'll say negative things, right? So in the same way you're saying, well, diets don't work if you do this, and you know, just trying to lose weight in this way doesn't work if you do this. What are those if you do thises that we don't think about sometimes, and why some of these things don't work?
I think you have to be curious, and you have to experiment with your own self, your body, your lifestyle. And I've tried to kind of turn the narrative a little bit instead of saying, don't do this, don't do that. Even in my class when I'm teaching, don't shrug your shoulders. Instead, I'll say, sit up taller.
Oh.
Find healthy choices rather than don't go eat a crappy candy bar. So it's really finding what works for people healthy wise, whether it's what they put in their mouth or how they exercise and how they move, and being able to continue to do that. And we try to kind of take that fitness journey ride with our members. And as things change, maybe they get sick, maybe they come up with some obstacles or depression. There's all sorts of things. And we help people to find answers for that. That's that connection that we were talking about earlier with the community, but also with the mind and the body. Because you want to feel better. Exercise will make you feel better. I really believe that. I think it changes the chemistry. I know it changes the chemistry in our heads and our minds and our bodies. And finding the things that work for different people. There's not one formula. So it's finding the do's rather than the don'ts and staying on that road and making life a little more interesting that way, finding variety for different people.
Well, so different things for different people, and also different things for different phases of our life, which I thought was really interesting when you started to talk about some of the older clients, for example, and what you were doing with them. If you want to talk about that.
Yeah, we have kids that are 14 years old and members that are up to almost 90. And
nice.
Being recently certified as a women's fitness specialist, I learned a lot about the different stages, especially for women. Women go through 5 stages hormonally, whereas men go through just a few. And there's a lot of changes, and there's significant things that you need to do in your body and lifestyle changes. For a woman in her 60s, not going to be doing what a woman when she's 20, exercise-wise. And in other ways too, things happen in our bodies that we have to adapt to. And with men, they may have old school exercises that they learned when they were in top notch shape and maybe they were in football. And it's totally different now. Their knees and their backs are not so much the same. They might not be as limber. So they have to progress in a different way. So yeah, lots of different stages in our lives. And we have to adapt to that. It's really important. And that's really the key to longevity.
So also then for our minds, not to feel like failures in a sense that we're not able to do this at this stage of our life, but to find what this stage of our life offers us or what we can do here, right?
Absolutely. And I have some young teachers. In fact, I was talking to a member the other day, and she said, I don't know if I can take that class. She's so fit and she can do everything and she's so flexible. And I said, that's why we modify. And the teachers have to modify. This is how you could do it if you went all the way, and you could. But let's take a step back until we get there and we modify. So I think it's really important to make people feel like what they do is a step to the next stage, or maybe what they're doing right now is good enough and it's going to accomplish what they need to accomplish in their life for now. It changes and it keeps changing, and it's important to go with that.
So in a sense, it seems like we were talking earlier how we've learned to compartmentalize things, and we're so good at, you know, being the boss over here and being whatever, you know, just separating everything in our lives, and also eating things out of a can, eating things out of a box because it's convenient and it helps us, and we don't have time, and or eating things out of a fast food restaurant because we've got all these other goals, and somehow you are saying let's bring it all back, or like let's find a way to do what at this stage of the game?
Well, it's an interesting thing because we've learned so much and we've progressed, but we've also failed our bodies a lot. Mm. Not using what we know is better often because it's easier. And that's where the prevention comes into play for our health. I think we have to go back to eating more primitive. We have to eat more natural foods and whole foods and less fast foods and less things in a box because it's healthier and it's going to serve our body. And if we do all that, we don't have to go to the doctors when we're broken and take a lot of medicine that might not be so good for our body. And we have to step back. And I think a lot of people are doing that now. And that's why we call it holistic health. It's everything. Because you can't be fit if you're not healthy inside and in your mind as well.
Well, so not everybody's going to be fortunate enough to be near enough, although I understand that there are people that are not near to Malibu Fitness that come to Malibu Fitness because they have all of that that you're talking about. They get that feeling, which is all part of it. As a matter of fact, I heard a great quote. Let me see. What was it? Oh, I wrote it down. If you want to get a feel of what Malibu, when you want to get a feel of what Malibu is like, go to Malibu Fitness. That's got to feel good, Lonnie.
Yeah, I hear a lot of great things like that in it. And I'm so happy that people love coming there as I do, because you feel good and you want to keep coming back. And not just to exercise, but it feels good. You know, you're in your community.
So, of course, if people want to connect with what's happening at Malibu Fitness or what Lonnie's talking about, I feel like there's going to be so much more coming from your camp, Lonnie, and from Malibu Fitness. But in the meantime, there is already a lot there. They can go to MalibuFitness.com. But again, I started to say not everybody is fortunate to even live near enough to be able to come there. And you were saying, like, you don't even need a gym. Like, you don't even need to, like, there are things you just have to start that we might want to consider incorporating in our lives. And you were saying first place is moving, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you live in Malibu, for sure you should come to Malibu Fitness.
Nice.
If you don't, it's a small community. The best exercise you can do is the one that you're going to do. And you just got to move. You go out for a walk. You jump rope. You do some push-ups on a wall. Just move. Do the things that you love to do so that you keep doing it. Because your body needs to move every day. And it doesn't have to be hours of exercise. It could be 10 minutes here. It could be 20 minutes there. You can jump in a pool. There's so many things you can do. And I encourage people to do what they love to do so they'll keep doing it.
And then there are, I'm sorry, I'm laughing because Mark's saying, are you?
What did he say?
I was making sure that everybody was paying attention to your wisdom. I always give them a little nudge to get a little extra in every day. And that's why it's so inspiring. You and the whole family and Chris and all the great trainers there. You know, this was a genuine inspiration for me because it's different. And you know, like I said, I've been in and out of a lot of gyms, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because you truly have cultivated and curated that experience of connection.
Thank you. It's been a lot of teamwork, a lot of great people around me.
And so before we close, there were a couple other things that I wanted to touch on. Okay, so now we're moving, and kind of like Mark is encouraging us, listening to you and saying, hey, Dorothy, hey, Mark, hey, Filippo, hey, Dorothy, you might want to consider moving more. Moving with people, doing things with people that are movement oriented, right? And that's part of the community effect?
Yes, or if there's not, you do it by yourself. Put on some music.
And music, that was the other thing. Tell us about music.
Music drives me and drives my classes for sure. I make playlists almost every other day for my spin class. And when I work out, I put on my own playlist. It helps me so much, and all different kinds of music. Music from all over the world. I'll listen to my daughter's music. I'll listen to everybody's music. Different ethnicities, different cultures. I think it's fun, and it makes you move different. It gives you different ideas on what to do. Because I think
we should share that that Sophia Galate was a prior guest, as well as our resident breathwork genius and so much more, Master Chris Tai.
Yes, I'm surrounded by a lot of good things.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I should mention it or not, but I'm glad you did, Mark. And yes, Sophia Galate was our episode 748. And what an episode that was. So by all means, go check that out. And I have to also give a shout out to Chris Tai, who was our episode. I didn't bring it up fast enough. I'll bring it up and I'll mention it in just a moment. So anyway, so all of these experiences that you are bringing together, not only there at Malibu Fitness, but you are helping encourage people. And I would love, I said this earlier, I would love to see you do videos or blogs or book or something or podcasts more like this, because I feel it. I feel it through the, I mean, like, you're just putting it out there saying, this is me. This is what I've learned. I love sharing what I've learned. No wonder people feel it when they come into the club.
It's coming. You're going to see more on social media from us. People can follow us and get some knowledge and some great exercises to do. There's a few on our YouTube channel. During COVID, when we were forced to have no contact, we did some great classes with a lot of our instructors. But there'll be more and more that we're going to share. We're in our 38th year, but we're just getting started.
Nice. Okay. Well said. And so MalibuFitness.com is where it's a good place to start, right?
Yep.
Lonnie, thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing, obviously, because it's supporting a lot of people. And thank you for sharing with us here on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. Lonnie Weinstock Galate. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Jessica, and I need to know how I can choose peace and happiness and joy like you do when I am bombarded with messages online that tell me to expect major food shortages, that the banks are going to fail, and that America is no longer what it used to be. I used to be calm and enjoy life, and now I'm a nervous wreck. How can I change back to the way I was?
Dear Jessica, this question is coming to me daily from all over the world, and I trust that you and so many others are willing to do the work that will assist you in choosing peace, happiness, and joy. First, let's remember that the key to change is to let go of fear. You can do this by understanding that the only thing we can change is our thoughts, and be willing to become mindful of where you are placing your attention. Long before I manifested the peace, happiness, and joy that is my state of being now, I was fearful and angry and afraid of the future. I thank God for the guidance of a master teacher who reminded me that I'm creating my reality through my thoughts, words, and actions. He He reminded me that tomorrow is what I believe, think, feel, say, and do today. He suggested that I pay attention to my predominant thoughts and change them immediately to positive ones if I'm thinking negatively. At first, this was difficult, and yet it was more difficult to remain in fear. He asked me to stop negative thinking and to take a few moments to practice gratitude for all of the good in my life. I began to stop being fearful by paying attention to when I was thinking or speaking negatively. I created a gratitude journal in which I wrote down all of the amazing and great things in my life, and I also asked my kids to remind me to change my negative thoughts and emotions into positive ones. It took a little while, and I'm so glad that I persevered. Jessica, I lovingly suggest that you research how to let go of fear, for there are so many beautiful websites that have absolutely amazing and helpful suggestions for you. Also remember that meditation, yoga, and exercise are a few of the things that could help you shift your consciousness. I trust that you heard our guest tonight, Lonnie Weinstock, and will check out what she has to offer in her gym. You can learn all about her at MalibuFitness.com because she offers some great things to help you change the way you think and feel. I look forward to you doing the work and letting me know how you progress in changing your predominant thoughts and emotions. And join me in creating the joy, peace, and happiness that you deserve as the divine child of God that you are.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And by the way, Chris Tye's episode was 741. And with that, we'll be right back with our performance guest, who is a triple platinum songwriter, Sherry Pettigo, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and I have to thank Tess Cacciatore, our friend and founder of Global Women's Empowerment Network, for introducing us to this performance guest who we've enjoyed conversations with ever since that moment. Triple platinum songwriter, singer, film producer, all around great and very busy person, Sherry Pettigo. Welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. It's such a joy to listen to all of this incredible information coming forth at almost 11 o'clock here in Tennessee.
Yeah. I know.
I've always wanted to go to Malibu Fitness. It's been on my bucket list to go to Malibu Fitness.
Nice.
I haven't been there yet. No, it really has. So I was kind of thrilled to hear her speak. So I was like, wow. I guess that's a sign. When I get back to LA in March, I got to go to Malibu Fitness.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a song. When I get back to LA, I got to go to Malibu Fitness. I'm just saying.
You know what? It does. We need to write it.
When I get back to
LA. It's so funny because I had to move my body today. I'm just got to go to the park. I've been sitting in conferences and I went running. I went to a park. I got outside. It was 70 degrees here today. And I said, I got to move my body. And I hadn't ran in so long. I used to run all the time. And it felt so good to run.
Oh.
So I related to that. It was amazing. Thank you for that.
You know, and it's funny because I'm texting. You're like, I'm at a conference. I'm at this. I'm on a plane. I'll call you right back. You know, it's just, oh, my gosh. So speaking about... Speaking of, I got to write a song. I mean, and even now you're like, I have to run outside because I don't have reception here. It's like, okay. But speaking of, I got to write a song about that. Triple platinum songwriter, but you have written so many songs for so many people. You have so many stories. Like, what do you think it is that your stories relate to so many, not just singers that want to sing them, but people that want to hear them? Like, what is that? You think?
I just always feel like that God's got my destiny. Wherever I go, I always say, you know, I don't get upset when I'm late on the flight. I don't get upset about things anymore because I always realize that God's got my destiny no matter where I'm at, no matter what it looks like, no matter sometimes I missed a flight in LA and we got stuck at a hotel, but I met some of my best friends for life. And I have learned that I just kind of go with the good, the bad, the ugly, because when I ended up on that triple platinum record in Europe, that was through a very bad breakup. And because I've got a short limited amount of time here, I won't go into the whole thing, but I was so depressed over this breakup with this guy from Canada that I couldn't move. It paralyzed me, literally. And I'm the life of the party. It paralyzed me in my life. And I was invited by NAREP to go to this songwriting event in North Hollywood. And I went. I met this guy from Switzerland. He was a promoter. And the reason how I met him is I leaned over into a candle and my hair caught on fire, and so I had to. People were jumping on me from every corner. I was like, "This must be burning," and it was.
I believe this. I totally believe.
No, but because my hair was on fire, I was running. Well, of course they were all putting it out, and then I ran to the bathroom and ran smack into this guy from Switzerland, who was a promoter. Met him. I probably wouldn't have met him if my hair hadn't caught on fire. So, I mean, I'm just saying, the good, bad, the ugly, you know, I just had to learn in
and
life,
the
you know, all this stuff, you know, I don't know. I just, if you take that attitude in life, I think you'll survive it.
Wow. Well, if
you'll survive it, attitude's altitude. It really is.
So we don't have to say that this is what this song, this is the relationship that this song is about, but I think we're going to play a song right now about a relationship, right?
Okay. Okay, but before we do go there, people are going, what's that guy in Switzerland have to do with anything?
Oh,
the
right.
The reason I brought that up is because I ended up hiring him. He took me to Switzerland. The rock band heard me sing, and the rest is history. I ended up on a triple platinum record. Thank you very much. By the song.
Because my hair got on fire and I was okay with it.
Catching on fire. And the song was called Breakaway. And it that I was on the record, and it was about breaking away from that relationship, breaking away from the familiar, and going somewhere that you know nothing about, and just taking a chance on life, rolling the dice. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Some of us need to roll the dice and take a chance, and you know, and just go for it.
Okay, well, now that you tell me what that song is called, it's not this one. We're going to hear Love Me Out Loud, which is... got a similar theme. Is there anything you want to say about this song before we hear it?
Well, I co-wrote this with Bill Champlin. Bill was with Chicago for years, and there's a story behind it, but yeah, he loved the title, loved the thought, and we sit down and wrote it, me, him, and his wife Tamara. And we had it done within an hour. It was one of those things that came out of a conversation. Mm-hmm. It was just a conversation. And, I said, I just need somebody who's going to love me out loud. That's what I said. And then I said, you know, and then Tamara goes, that sounds like a song. And Bill goes, we're going to write it right now. He got the guitar. And we wrote it in their backyard.
Did you film it in their backyard too? Because the video.
No, I didn't film it. The filming was done in Nashville.
All right. So here's Sherry Pettigo's pre-recorded song, Love Me Out Loud, on the Life Changes Show.
I know tomorrow the sun's gonna rise, maybe just not in your eyes. I can't explain it, how a heart can pretend. I need somebody who's been where I've been, not blow away with the wind. Love me. Show me right.
Sherry Pettigo. So I'm going to spell that for you all. It's Sherry with one R, S-H-E-R-I, Pettigo, P-E-D-I-G-O. So you can find her on socials at Sherry Pettigo, and also her website, sherrypettigo.com. So Sherry, you have, again, obviously so many stories to share, so many stories that turn into songs, and you've also been through such an amazing roller coaster of your own, and then you've taken on other people's roller coasters, like now in film, like this whole Father film. Tell us a little bit about that. We're going to go back to the music in just a moment, but tell us a little bit about what you've got coming film wise
well, interestingly enough, that song Love Me Out Loud was written about a guy that kind of was the kind of reason why I did the documentary, because I went out with him and he had a lot of father stuff going on, and to the point that on Father's Day he cursed me out and I never saw him again. He just said, because I was trying to fix it, you know, this girl who was trying to fix the guys, right? You know, well, it can go both ways actually. But anyway, I did this whole documentary and started interviewing people on their father upbringings. But what was really interesting is that I found out I had father issues myself. Mm. And not realizing I had them. But my dad, you know, he lost his father at 9 years of age, and my dad never talked about his dad. And he also was a workaholic, my dad was. He provided, but he never was really emotionally there. And I think subconsciously I was picking guys like my dad. Mm. And fixing them my whole life. And it wasn't until I did this documentary and interviewing other people that I realized, wait a minute, I see a cycle here going on. And then I realized that this is kind of a global thing. It's a lot of people have daddy issues. Mm. And so it's a never-ending learning experience. The song Father Me that I wrote kind of came first. It was kind of a download, and a very powerful download. And I've sang this song in 3 different languages. I've been in Spain singing it, and people that didn't even know English come up to me with tears in their eyes going, this song touches me. But see, music is universal.
Yeah.
You can be singing it in any language. Somebody can, people feel. They may not know the lyrics in the language that they're hearing it in, but they're feeling the message coming through.
Yeah.
And I found that to be true. You know, I was in Switzerland singing it. I had men, grown men, rich men from that are in real estate, coming up to me, pulling me off to the side, telling me how much that song touched them. And that was just the song. That wasn't the documentary. The music's powerful. Sometimes music can tell a story more than a story can tell a story. There's a lot of power in music.
So in the movie,
very, very powerful.
In the movie, before we get back to a song, before we end our show, I just want to make sure we give a shout out for the movie. In the movie, you are interviewing men about their relationships or non-relationships with their father, or
yes,
those finding them or looking for them, right?
In, yes, a sense. Exactly. I touch on a lot of different things. Every interview is different. It's interesting. Actor Oded Farah, interviewed him, and Oded was like, you know, I'm cool with my dad, but as the interview went, he started getting angrier and angrier. Are you sure that you're over your dad stuff? And then I think he had pushed it so far under the rug that he had thought he was, because sometimes, yeah, we get in denial. But, you know, I interviewed Harmony Samuels, record producer, and he told me 90% of the artists, like Chris Brown, he did Janet Jackson's last record. He said 90% of the artists that he works with all kind of had father stuff going on. And he said it was kind of a pattern. And yeah, and there's a sense of trying to always prove, you know, there's this, like his dad was very hard on him, Harmony's was, And he didn't talk to his dad for 6 years because his father was so abrasive, because his dad didn't want him to be in the music industry. He was trying to make him do what he wanted to do. And his sternness and his discipline was kind of abusive. Well, it was abusive. And so it wasn't until Harmony forgave his father, and he actually called his dad, and he told him, he says, "Dad, I just want you to know that I'm sorry for hating you all these years that I have. Wow. And I just want to tell you that I want you to forgive me for hating you." Wow. He switched it instead of his father going, "I'm sorry, will you forgive me for being so rude?" It was almost like he had a switch in his mindset. Like, I have hated my father this long and rebelled completely against my dad. And his father broke down and cried and said, "I never thought you'd ever forgive me." Wow. But his father was too proud to ever call him, like most fathers in that generation were. They were too proud. They were brought up with a lot of pride. It was so interesting because I was like, wow, this is such a pattern. And we don't want to keep repeating this stuff. We want to nip it in the butt and get that healed, so we don't go down and keep passing it down, like passing the baton, you know, here it is, let's go, and keep, you know, passing it on down to generation to generation. So my goal is to kind of wake people up and say, we got to stop this. You know, can't repeat history.
What's the name of the movie?
Father Me.
Father Me. And I know it's doing the film circuit right now, but when it comes out for the public, do let us know so we can share it with our audience.
Absolutely.
Especially since they've heard it here. So they're going to get to hear another song of yours. And actually, I know you had another song picked for the show. Actually, you sent us several, and I'm like, oh, great, how we're going to pick. But I'll tell you how I picked, and then we all were in agreement. Can I tell you? There was
tell
one.
I'm all ears.
There was one I kept playing over and over again, and I didn't realize that I was doing that until I'm like, oh, I think this is like the third or fourth time I played this. And it's called Love Me. And here's the line that got me. And you can tell me where that comes from before we heard it, but we hear it. I was born to be free. I was born to believe. I was born to be thankful. Then you end with to love everybody. What do you say?
I must love me.
I must love me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's interesting you're bringing this up because I thought you were going to play Father Me. But when I was listening to your interview previous to mine, she was talking about emotionally how people, you know, and I thought, wow, because a lot of people don't love themselves.
Yep.
Yep. That thought came to me. And I'm glad you're playing this song because I think it kind of almost ties the whole show together.
Yeah.
By you playing this, it almost makes me want to cry because I thought you would have played Father Me, but you know what? I'm glad you're playing this one.
I am too. And we are too. Here is Sherry Pettigo's pre-recorded song, Love Me, on the Life Changers Show.
Suits and ties. I love pretty feet and green cat eyes. I love Jesus and John Wayne too. Elvis in the ghetto, how about you? I love flowers that bloom in June. I love singers and songs and tune. I love purple and I love pink. I love children cause they make me think. I was born to be thankful. I was born to love everybody, I must love me. And I was born to be happy, I was born to be free, and to love everybody, I must love me. I love Nashville and I love LA. I love the country and I surely love that bay. Cause it moves my soul. Amazing grace.
Sherry Pettigo.
Thank you. We gotta love ourselves, man.
Yeah, gotta love it. Gotta love it. I'm gonna spell it again. Sherry Pettigo. Sherri Pettigo. Find her on social, Sherry Pettigo. Sherry, what a pleasure connecting with you and having you share your stories and your music on the show. Boy, if the audience only knew how many stories you got. You know, maybe you need your own show. Just saying.
I know, right?
A story a week, like 15 minutes. Oh, my gosh. Just saying.
I know. I got to fit that one in. Okay. You produce it, I'll do it.
I love it. Anyway, what an absolute pleasure, and more power to you. And do let us know as the film comes out and as all your other projects come out.
Well, thank you. Hopefully you'll be seeing it on a network. So, hey.
Hey, that's right.
Keeping my fingers crossed for.
That's so. Right. Wait, you're sharing things that nobody knows yet. But, well, you know, may it all happen.
Yes. From God's ears.
Yes. From our mouths to God's ears. Well,
yeah, that's it. That's how you say it. Hey, I got an excuse. It's like, what time is it here? Almost midnight now.
I know. And you just flew there. So that's even better. Well, thank you for being with us today. What a special show for all of us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure.
Thank you.
So with that, a big thank you to Sherry Pettigo and a big thank you to Lonnie Weinstock Galate. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, and myself, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everybody.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.